Welcome back to the A-List, guys. The A-List Lowdown coming at you Monday, April 14th, 2025 with the Canadian Crime Catch 22 and a couple things Graham's got. He's been just back in the saddle. He's got a few things to go over. We're trying a new format where we're going to sort of take turns. Instead of fighting for the space, we're going to try to start trying a format where we sort of take turns and play off each other. So we'll see how that goes. Let us know what you think.
Is that what we're doing already? Or?
I think.
Well, so. I got to vent a little bit. I mean, I don't know if you've experienced this at all with the boomers, but I was listening to these two guys, kind of like us, podcasting. They have a radio station, I think, and they're very much pushing back against the, you know, the liberals and their, you know, the election stuff and the policies and all that. And they were talking about a story about how the guy was talking to somebody in his mid 70s or high 70s. And, you know, right away, the guy's like, oh, so you're a Trump fan, that kind of stuff, right? Oh, and then like it you know, it quickly devolves into like, you know, you're full of misinformation and they can't talk about politics. You know what I mean? Like they can't go back and forth and talk about the facts and stuff, right? So. Yeah. I had this experience myself where I was going back and forth with somebody I'm really close to, like 79 years old, let's say. I'm not going to say who it is because I don't want to do that. But, and I wrote this big rant back. I'm like, forget it. I'm going to not like sit in, I'm going to just rant back at like, you know, what's wrong with Canada right now. And like, we need your generation to step up and like start, turn the TV off and, you know, pay attention. And then it's like, I got a response like, we don't talk about politics and blah, blah, blah. And then I thought, you know, oh, it clicked in. I'm like, you don't talk about politics when I'm responding to you, but you can start by your virtue signaling politics about how you're going to not travel to the US anymore. And you're putting your travel plans on hold and you're doing all this for Team Canada. But if I respond with my politics, then all of a sudden we can't talk about politics anymore. And then just clicked. I'm like, oh my God, this is exactly what's happening.
Seems to be the case. Yeah.
You know, when you call them out on their bullshit. Oh, it's so crazy. Let's start with this one. Gonna do, on crime. I don't know if you've heard this or not. This is just a short little clip.
And while Eric over here is opposed to having people on house arrest, we do have to acknowledge the fact that our prison system is incredibly costly. Housing somebody within the prison system is a huge burden on taxpayers versus having them on house arrest, for instance. And
so, I mean, it's not a lot of context to that clip, but anytime I hear somebody talking about these internal, you know, programs that are so expensive, I think about all the billions that are going to Global Affairs Canada and wasting, right? So this is just from Larry Block. Brock, he says, Mark Carney's handpicked Liberal candidate says the quiet part out loud. They think that locking up dangerous criminals is too expensive. Carney's hug-a-thug Liberal team already voted to give house arrest to arsonists, car thieves, kidnappers, even those convicted of sexual assault. Oh, I didn't know about the house arrest part. On April 28th, Canadians will make a choice, a fourth Liberal term of more crime and chaos, or a Canada first Conservative government that locks up criminals and puts victims first, keeping our streets safe for a change. I mean, this is a pretty obvious problem, right? I mean, it really, you would think it's obvious, right? And then I like some of these comments here. They need to create future prison vacancy for those who speak unapproved words online. I mean, the UK is going somewhere very similar. Privatize prisons and make them self-sufficient. They can grow and process their own food. I like that idea. Priorities elsewhere, but at home. Mario, you are 100% correct. We have a major backlog in healthcare, drug issues, homeless people, food bank shortages, indigenous reserves across Canada with no clean water, blah, blah, blah. So then I was, then I got this guy's post here about, how come it didn't take me back to my,
I don't know.
Let's see here. This is from Jay Gen Xer. What's the truth, Bill? Because Bill Blair, let me click on this and see what Bill Blair was saying. Canadians deserve to feel safe in their communities. Mark Carney's plan will remove assault weapons from our communities, combat organized crime, and strengthen supports for victims. The time to build a safer, stronger Canada is now. I mean, this is where we're at. When look at this chart. What's the truth, Bill? Going after law-abiding people won't fix anything. Dumbass. So this is the violent crime since 2006. So here it was at about 450,000. Now, I'm trying to figure out where this came from. And it says Source Statistics Canada. So I'm going to show you my Statistics Canada research. But look at this, right? It's a similar shape, but I can't reproduce this graph. But this is where Trudeau took office. Look at back from 2006. Violent crimes dropped significantly to 2014. Then they started going up, and now they're way above where they were in 2023. I don't know where 2024 is, but I'm assuming it's probably still going up. So I don't know what this means. Like, if this is a total violent crimes, like 525,000 or violent crime reports, like I really don't like sharing graphs where there's no context like that. So I went to here. Actually, what do I want to start with first? I went to this one, crime severity indexes. So this is all in Stats Canada. You can go back and find some of these, right? This is back from 98 to 2023. And it's pretty crazy to me that back in the 90s, I think we've done this before on one of these segments too. We've looked at some of the crime, but back in the 90s, it was quite high. And then it came all the way down in 2013, 2014 there, and then it started going back up. So I think what they've done is a lot of these graphs you're seeing are from like right here where it's kind of level, right? Where it looks like it came down. It doesn't show that how much it came down from, you know, it sort of seems like this is a new high when it's not.
Mm-hmm.
There was,
that's still an alarming trend.
Yeah. And then I saw this, which was selected police reported property crimes and robbery. So selected police reported property crimes. And I was trying to figure out why is this from 98? Why are all these sort of down even in 2020? So I couldn't repeat that sort of trend with this chart, property crimes and robbery. So maybe it was just property crime. What?
Nothing.
Oh, I thought I heard something. And then I go over to this one here. This is very similar. So police reported crime in Canada. So pretty general category there. Released July last summer. So none of this is including 2024, but look at this one. So this is kind of similar, right? So here's the violent crime from 2006. It goes down right to 2014 and goes up. So this is like very similar to the graph that guy was posting on X. And there's the severity index, which is the one that we looked at before, which is, I don't know how they make that up. I guess I should figure that out at some point. And then the non-violent crime is down here. It's a little bit more level. Wow. So, yeah. I mean, here we go.
Child pornography up 52%.
Right. Crazy, eh? And this is why they want to clamp down on our kids. This is their excuse to, and I'm not saying it's not a good excuse for some clamp down, but to limit our ability to use websites and all that kind of stuff. Like, it, you know, the censorship apparatus is going to basically use that as an excuse, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's just go through this quickly. Important shifts in certain violent and non-violent crimes impacted the CSI across Canada. That's that crime severity index. So minus 14. So homicide down 14%. 35% is up. Extortion is 35%. Extortion.
I get it.
I don't even know what an example of that would be nowadays.
I feel like extorting some people sometimes.
Give me your car. I'm going to kill you. Like, would that be like stealing somebody's car right from out and under them? Like they extorted your car. 4%. Yeah. Robbery's up 4%. Assault level 2 is up 7%. Child porn is up 52%. Fraud is up 12%. Shoplifting 5,000 or under is up 18%. Motor vehicle theft is up 5%. And breaking and entering is down 5%.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. So in 2023, there were 778 victims of homicide, 104 fewer than in 2022. Well, that's good news, too.
Calgary's down 10%. Red Deer's down 10%. Yeah. Looks like BC and Quebec are falling apart.
That's wow, dude. Oh, yeah, that's those dots right there. So there's some five largest increases and decreases in the CSI by metropolitan area. So, yeah. That's a good point. So Lower Ontario, Quebec, and BC, the highest increases in Alberta and some other Ontario areas, they're lower. Wow.
Interesting.
Oh, there's by province. So where's Alberta on here by province? So Alberta's down. The CSI value is down 100. It's at 103. It's down 2%.
The crime severity index.
Yeah. And the crime severity index is up in Saskatchewan, where I am, up 2% at 160.
That's probably about expected. 2%.
Yeah, there's some pretty
growth, like going with the population growth.
There's some pretty rough towns in Saskatchewan, apparently.
Oh, I bet. I bet you there's some rough reses too.
Yeah.
For sure.
So, yeah, that's that one. Do you have anything?
I ain't got shit. I kind of came in this expecting to just bounce off of you.
All right. Well, that sounds good. So let's go to Button Gate already then, if that's okay with you. We got to talk about this. I don't want to talk about it because it's been talked about too much, but it's just happened and it's kind of important, really. I mean, this is Button Gate. What's happened at some of the Canadian, there was a conference by the little conservative, what would you call them? Politicians, and I don't know if there's a lot of influencers, a lot of media there, but a lot of people at this sort of conference about, you know, conservatism and stuff in Canada, and this is what happened. So this is interesting, because to me it's like, why is the CBC so, it was almost like they couldn't stop this from coming out. There was two eyewitness accounts of this problem, kind of like whistleblowers. So I mean, I think they just couldn't keep a lid on it.
Liberal operatives reportedly planted buttons with divisive messages at a conservative conference in Ottawa last
week. Wait till you see these divisive messages.
Week, but the campaign trick seems to have backfired. CBC's Kate McKenna broke the story and has more.
So last week I covered this conference, the Canada Strong and Free Networking Conference, and it's an annual event where conservatives from across the country come and meet and talk about issues. And while I was there, I noticed a couple of buttons that I thought were strange. One said, "Stop the Steal," which is an apparent reference to the 2020 movement to overturn the U.S. election results. And the other had the name Jenny Byrne crossed out and replaced with Corey Tenaik. Byrne is the conservative campaign manager, and Tenaik is a longtime conservative strategist who has been critical of the ongoing election campaign. So it's conceivable that people at this conference made these pins. And in fact, I spent time last week trying to prove that. But recently, I learned it was an operation undertaken by the Liberal War Room itself. Two operatives went to the conference and planted these buttons, and in an attempt to tie conservative supporters to the politically toxic Donald Trump. I was having dinner with friends, and I saw some people who I recognized to be Liberal staffers. I overheard the person next to me, a man, who had already identified himself as someone who was working in the Liberal War Room, and he's talking about how he was at the conference and planted these buttons in a Liberal campaign-sanctioned false flag operation. So I confronted him. He knew I was a journalist.
Can you believe they called it a Liberal campaign false flag operation?
I said,
it almost seems like a double false flag. I mean, you know what I mean?
Like, I don't know.
It could, like, the kind of idiot shit you'd say if you wanted to get caught.
Yeah. It was a double agent doing a false flag.
Double agent on a triple sting.
Journalist, I said, if you did that, then that's a story and I'll report it. At first, he conceded that he had said that. But once I said it was going to be a story, he denied having said anything at all. So I left shortly after. And then at a separate bar, a conservative source told me another Liberal campaign staffer was also talking about it. So the next day, I put in a request for comment with the Liberal Party and they didn't deny it. It's not unusual for political parties to play tricks like this during a campaign, but it is unusual to hear about it from them.
That reporting is from CBC's Kate McKenna.
So that's just a what did they call it? Playing a trick, little tricks like this. Imagine if it was done the other way around, when if you did a bunch of like WEF buttons and stuff for the liberals. I mean, you could come up with some pretty nasty buttons that sound pretty much like, hey, you know, net zero, blah, blah, blah. Imagine if the conservatives did that.
Even they were saying that it seems weird that they got caught.
Really?
Well, that's what they just said in that thing. It says the weird thing is that they figured it out or led back, you know? It's like, almost like I told you, it's like these guys are doing everything in their power to lose this election, whether or not it'll be enough. I mean, that one week of hating Trump and Carney coming in swung everything out of whack so much that it's sort of, you can see it all sort of folding back out, but it's like, I mean, even their side, it's like, how did you get caught? I mean, you just gotta say, just shut the fuck up. All you got to do is just.
But they can't, because it's a virtue signaling thing, right? It's almost like they have to be virtuous about these things. They think that it's somehow doing good. And then this is a funny one. A foul smell emanates from this dirty trick. The stench, I dare say, of butts. Get it? Gerald Butts?
Yes.
So here's Ryan Gerritsen. I got to read his. Wow, what an unbelievably bad statement by the liberals. They made the buttons to poke fun because they believed there were Trump allies at the conference, and it got carried away. They did it with the hopes a disparaging news story would come out of it, plain and simple. So this is the Liberal Party just emailed me a statement regarding Buttongate. This is the most important election in a generation because of the historic economic crisis that is facing Canadians today. So this is from the Liberal Party, right? What?
On the libs.
And the Liberal Party of Canada will continue to run a positive campaign focused on building Canada strong. After many news reports last week about conservative infighting and prominent Trump allies being hosted at this Canadian Conservative Conference, well, they even throw that in there, eh? It's been reported that Liberal campaigners had created buttons poking fun at those reports, which regrettably got carried away. While it is worth noting that many materials being shown online have nothing to do with members of our team, the party has acted quickly to review the matter. As leader, Mark Carney has also made it clear to the campaign that this does not fit his commitment to serious and positive discourse. So, there you have it. Is there any good comments here? They've been trying to build a narrative for days that the CPC was going to deny the results of the election. Too big to rig, stop the steal, etc. This wasn't an isolated prank. This is creating a narrative that isn't true, and this does make me feel like the Nazi flag at the convoy was a plant too. This calls a lot of things into question. Well, yeah, I mean, we all kind of agreed about that.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, you saw, was that Table Salt? Table Salt shared something about his, like, it made him question the Nazi
flag. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was like, really? That's what made it? I mean, we questioned it right away. It was pretty gross. Right away, we were saying that was a false flag. I mean, it was so obvious.
But we live in false flag land, so.
Yeah, totally. So I'm going to go to Carney's thoughts about it.
Good morning. Kate McKenna from the CBC.
Hi.
Members of the Liberal War Room, so the central campaign, distributed stock.
The Liberal War Room.
Ba-da-ba.
War Room, so the central campaign, distributed Stop the Steal buttons at a conservative event. Given the anti-democratic implications of this phrase, how much does this event undermine the trust in the way that the Liberals operate? And what have you done in response to these revelations?
Thanks for the question. Look, this is totally unacceptable, to be absolutely clear. On behalf of my campaign, I was unaware of this behavior, but on behalf of my campaign, I apologize for it unreservedly. I've made it absolutely clear to my campaign that this behavior, or anything approximating it, or in that spirit, is unacceptable. Cannot happen. Cannot happen again.
Okay.
Good morning.
So what's with all the people behind him? Is that his campaign or?
Nah, there's got to be employees or something.
UN Canada Fort maybe or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever the fuck that means.
I mean, honestly, like I said to you earlier, I appreciate that apology. I mean, that's what most of the time I'm looking for a politician to say, but they'll never say it. I mean, at least he sort of took, you know, accountability, and at least said, I mean, he said he didn't know anything about it, which maybe he didn't. They probably protect him from stuff like that, right? But he was like, yeah, that's unacceptable to do that. And I do appreciate it. That was, I posted from an oil exec at Canadian Oil Exec. Another blow to the serious positive campaign he promised as they now release the third statement in 2 weeks around their campaign issues.
All right. Well, you want me to go?
No. I want to finish off this because here's the buttons.
Oh, yeah.
This is the non-democratic. I mean, how is non-democratic? Like, what is, like, these aren't even, I think these are great. A vote for Carney is a vote for Wexit. Okay. That's that controversial. Lock Justin up is probably the most controversial one. Make Canada great again. Oh, my God.
That's the most controversial one.
Daniel Smith for CPC leader 2026. Free Alberta with a picture of handcuffs. Okay. And then that Corey Tenick one, which nobody knows. I mean, that's just about the campaign manager guy or whatever. Who knows about that? Stop the steal. And then there is no climate crisis. Like, I mean, can you believe they're getting in trouble for these buttons? Like, that's hard to fathom. This is where we're at in Canadian politics, where smearing the whole other side because of these basic buttons.
Basic. Hey, speaking of which, what do you think about Pierre not letting people with hats in his rallies? He won't let you in with a MAGA hat or make Canada great again hat, any of that stuff.
I was going to bring that up during this whole segment is that, you know, he's kicked people out. I mean, I saw a video of a guy with Viva Fry and he says he's kicking them out. He's got a picture with Pierre before with his hat and all this stuff. And he won't, I don't know what to think of it. To be honest with you, I don't know what to think about that. Part of me is like, that's gross, but look at the controversy over this.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole establishment can just use any of that stuff again. It's so sad that they can use it against us or them. I mean, I don't even want to say us, but I mean, I do want PP to win because I think that'll slow the train down a little bit. I mean, I really do think it's him or nothing. I mean, I even saw Kirk Lubomov talking about all his representatives in his riding. I'm like, it shouldn't even be based on riding. It should just be, you got to vote for the guy who you want. It's Pierre versus Carney. Oh, yeah, it's Pierre versus Carney. I mean, what?
It goes by ridings. Yeah.
No, which I know, but to analyze the people in your riding, I mean, really, is it going to make a difference? You got to think of the end.
So you got to go by which party you want in power. That's, I mean, that's how our system works. Representation, once you get past a certain level, representation doesn't matter anymore. So it's, I mean, I still predict that PP is going to win. I think he'll still even get his majority. I mean, most people would say that's crazy, but I think that
it might happen.
Everyone's watching too much TV. I think I think even the right is watching too much TV. It's like, you know, I'm telling you, this is,
yeah. It's another Trump phenomenon happening down below, I feel like.
Yeah, something sort of analogous to that. Yeah.
Almost like analogous to the 2016 one with Hillary, with all the...
Yeah,
that'd
be more like it. Yeah, I agree.
Well, do you want to play a clip of... Or what were you going to do? You should do...
Well, I just got one thing to sort of finish us off.
Well, okay, I'll save the rest for another time if you want to make this really short here. Or I can do, and I had a clip from Carney. If you want to like throw in a really bad clip, like the best clip of Carney, greatest Mark Carney clip online.
We might as well do that quickly, and then we can get out of here around the half hour mark.
So you're gonna do? You got something too there?
I have a short clip, on Canadian refugees.
Okay, so this is from Raw and Unfiltered, the greatest Mark Carney clip online. I'll read that after I play the clip because you can tell me when to stop it.
This is the best Carney clip ever.
I said a moment ago, Jason, I wanted to put words into action. I believe that this is it's climate change is the biggest risk to the world. But when you turn it around, if you're part of the solution, it makes it the biggest commercial opportunity in the world. In effect, we're going to rewire, so to speak, the entire global economy consistent with net zero. And I wanted to be at a place that could play a leading role, in fact, in many respects, a defining role in that. Now, it happens to be the case that I have known Bruce Flatt, CEO of Brookfield, and that many of the senior partners of Brookfield for longer than I'd care to admit, but I will admit to more than a quarter century. I've seen what they have done with the firm, transforming it from into one of the world's leading alternative asset managers, shifting from black to, through the spectrum, the underlying assets towards green, not all the way to green, but towards green. And in the process, developing this enormous expertise, not just in renewables, but really in decarbonization, understanding energy systems, understanding business transformation. I mean, Brookfield is an entity that doesn't own, but it also operates 20 gigawatts of renewable power across hydro, wind, solar, across four continents, and then has the equivalent, in fact, more than the equivalent of in their development pipeline. So track record, expertise, the people, and that ability to operate at scale, at global scope, and to focus on transformation, that all lined up for me. I guess the last thing is just an enthusiasm within the organization to accelerate what needs to be done.
Now,
his title on that clip was vice chair.
I'm not sure if you caught everything he said there. How do we unpack this? First of all, he's known the CEO and all the other high officials in Brookfield Asset Management for a quarter of a century. That's over 25 years. He's had a good relationship, a good friendship with Brookfield Asset Management. Furthermore, how he's talking how he always wanted the opportunity to be in the position to lead the way and to have that moment where he can act on it and make it happen. That moment here in Canada, being prime minister. And like he said, he wanted to put words into action that climate change is the biggest risk. But if you turn it around, it is the biggest commercial opportunity in the world.
I think what's more important there is that he wants to restructure the whole global economy. I mean, how's that working so far for everybody in their prices and their living standards in the West? I mean, it's mind-boggling that they think they can just do this and that they're allowed to do this. We let them do it. It's unbelievable. We're in too deep. We are. We can't get out. This isn't about saving the planet. It's about profiting from policies he helps create. He said himself he wants to be in a position to lead the way, push net zero, and shape the system. Between him, his wife, and his brother, they've sat on over 50 corporate and global boards in the last few years. And now he suddenly quits them all just to run for prime minister.
Maybe we're better off with the drama teacher.
That's what I've been saying. This is 2.0. This is like JT on steroids. All right, go for it.
Are you done, motherfucker? All right, let me see if I can pause this quick enough to. So, okay, how am I going to do this? I'm not crazy about Instagram. It's hard to use on the show, you know? See what happens.
G's in Canada receive financial aid? Here's the breakdown. Many people wonder how much financial support refugees receive when they arrive in Canada. Under the Resettlement Assistance Program, RAP, refugees get nearly $1,900 per month, plus they can earn up to $1,000 from employment. Families with children also receive the child tax benefit, which provides $1,800 per child per month. On top of that, there's a $500 housing top-up and a one-time $8,300 startup allowance for basic needs, like furniture and clothing. Even after EP ends, refugees can apply for provincial assistance if they still need financial help. This has sparked debates online, with some Canadians pointing out that pensioners receive only about $1,500 per month after working their whole lives. What do you think? Is this fair or unfair? Let's discuss in the comments.
So That was a pretty good breakdown of kind of the stuff we've sort of been talking about, but you know, it adds up. I mean, what's that? If you came here with two kids, you got two people getting 1900 each. That's 3800 plus another 36. I mean, you're doing all right.
Plus the 8300 to start out. Same
kind of money. You'd have to be making 100 grand a year or over 100 grand a year to be taking home that kind of money.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, like, subscribe, share the show, tell your friends, sign up and subscribe and comment. And check out alist.ca if you want to support us or sign up for the podcast, all that fun stuff. Of course, everything else we're up to is available at grimerica.ca. But now we love you guys, and we will see you on Wednesday.
Who's going to kill this sacred cow? You were never political anyhow. Since when did you start trusting in the government? Since when was it okay to ridicule and shame your neighbor? Your opinions have become, your opinions have become as fickle as artificial flavors. What matters most to you? What the TV host told you to do? Or a moral compass that points true north? Oh, true. Who's gonna kill this sacred cow? You were never religious anyhow. Since when did you kiss the ring on the hand of the Pope? Since when do we need pharmaceuticals to cope? Your soul has become, ever-loving soul has become as brittle as communion wafers. What matters most to you? What the Holy Ghost told you to do? Or a moral compass that points true north? Oh, true. I'm gonna kill, I'm gonna kill this sacred cow. Bureaucrats think I'm non-essential anyhow. Since when has our culture become so lowbrow? It's all touchscreens and nobody has any know-how. Your idea of fun, your idea of fun is taking 1,001 photos of your duck face. Matters most to you what the celebrity's post told you was cool, or a moral compass that points true north? Oh, true. I'm gonna kill this sacred cow. I'm gonna kill your 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 sacred cow. I'm gonna kill, I'm gonna kill, I'm gonna kill, I'm gonna kill your sacred cow. I'm gonna kill, I'm gonna kill your sacred cow. I'm gonna kill your sacred cow.